Jesus is resurrected.
Let me just push this stone out of the way. You think I would have been resurrected in a place with a door?
Hey, guys, guess what? I'm okay.
Oh, my God, he's alive!
He's alive!
Guys, come back, guys! I thought we were going to have an Easter egg hunt.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 123, San Diego Bound. You heard a brief little resurrectionary excerpt from the Bible, the complete Word of God abridged there at the top of the podcast, in honor of Easter, which was yesterday. Happy Easter, happy Passover, happy pagan spring fertility ritual to you all, to all of our listeners, no matter which holiday or holidays you celebrate. But on to the matter at hand. We're heading down to San Diego this week, heading back to San Diego, to the San Diego Repertory Theater for 2 weekends to perform the complete History of America abridged. The RC has a pretty strong connection to San Diego because Reed Martin has such a long, unreduced history there.
Well, I guess the biggest thing is I went to grad school down there from 83 to 86 at the University of California at San Diego, and lived in La Jolla, which is just north of San Diego, for the first year in student housing, and then moved downtown to various places.
Right.
It's a great town. I also did it one summer. I performed at the Old Globe Theater, and just after I finished grad school, I did a show at La Jolla Playhouse.
So you basically worked at every professional theater in San Diego now.
The three biggies.
But why did you make the decision to go from, you know, liberal, fruity, and nutty Berkeley to fairly conservative San Diego?
They accepted me.
Oh.
I'd been in San Diego. I knew it was a good program. It was always ranked. They had it at that time of the League of Professional Actor Training Programs, which were, I think, the top 10 schools at the time. It was Yale, it was SMU, Carnegie, Mellon, Juilliard, NYU, CU, and San Diego was one of those. And so I applied to a lot of different places, and I got into UCSD. And my sister had lived down there. I'd visited San Diego quite a bit. And I liked it, but the short answer is that's where I got in.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, and it's changed quite a bit. I remember last time we were down there, you were saying, because the San Diego Rep is sort of located right downtown in the area they called Old Town, right?
And they had just built that. They were just building the whole area down there in the mid-'80s when I was leaving. I first saw a show, I think, at San Diego Rep. They were performing in an old church. I went to see this Gary Trudeau show called Rap Master Ronnie, which was Ronald Reagan as a rap show. It was awfully funny. And then they got this new theater, I guess in the mid to late 80s. And the other thing that's really changed down there is UC San Diego. We go back to visit Berkeley, and the campus seems largely the same. And I go back to UC San Diego, where I went after Berkeley, and I hardly recognize the place. It's just grown and grown and grown.
Really? Well, and you would say, and the Old Town has so many restaurants and stores, and it's got the new ballpark, you know, just, I don't know, what is it, 10 blocks from the theater? I mean, it's really, really pretty exciting down there.
Oh, it's fantastic. There's so much to do. We were performing down there, I think the first time we performed at San Diego Rep, and we were down there on Halloween, and the place was just jumping. Yeah, there's nightclubs, there's restaurants, there's movie theaters, there's, of course, San Diego Rep. The new ballpark is killing me. I haven't seen a game there yet on my continuing quest to see a ball game in every major league ballpark, but I keep losing ground. Like this year, I've lost ground to New York because the Yankees and Mets have both opened new stadiums this year.
That's right. 3 ballparks forward, 2 ballparks back.
Yeah.
Well, that'll have to be another nerd podcast about your quest to visit every single ballpark.
The baseball Quixote, yeah.
Hopefully we're going to dodge the bullets that have hit us the last 2 times we performed in San Diego, because, of course, we performed down there in the fall in the height of wildfire season.
Well, it's miraculous that we did so well and that they're having us back. The first time there, that was that Halloween time, was the big fire, and we woke up one morning and the sky was just kind of orange, mm-hmm. and you woke up and you go, have I slept through the whole day of the sun setting?
Yeah.
But it was just smoke and
yeah, like a nuclear winter. It was just ash falling everywhere.
And it was crazy that we did really good business both times, considering that roads were closed and they were telling people to stay home. I guess this time it's spring, so it's not fire season, so I think the only disaster is going to be us.
We are a natural disaster.
That's right.
Everywhere we go. Well, and San Diego has this reputation of being very conservative, but is that fair, or is that because mostly of La Jolla, which is like a conservative suburb, it's also because there's a lot of military workers down there, how is that true? You haven't been down there?
Yes, it's true. San Diego is a conservative town. I think of San Diego as well as Orange County as the two most conservative enclaves mm-hmm. in California, which seems to get progressively more liberal as the years go by, which is funny because growing up it was a very conservative state.
Right.
String of Republican governors, including Ronald Reagan.
Well, and I do remember when we performed the Complete History of America there at your alma mater. We got dinged by the local critic from the San Diego Union Tribune. But part of that was not the show's fault. Part of that was me.
Well, you dislocated your shoulder.
I dislocated my shoulder during the World War I scene in the Complete History of America show. Putting on, you know, because I was playing a doughboy in the trenches, and I was putting on my bra, you know, as they did.
As you do.
And putting on the bra the correct way. And, I popped my shoulder, and I had to leave the stage so I could go off stage and pop it back in and get Jane's help backstage. Jane, pull my arm. Pull my arm.
Well, Reed does this trick all the time, but it's usually with his finger.
Yeah. You know, she said, why? I said, well, I dislocated my shoulder. I need your help putting it back in. She went, ew, no. She ran away. I went, no, seriously. Please come back. I need your help.
Come back.
Come back on my arm. Yeah, so the Union Tribune wrote a review that said two funny things. One, that they had a World War scene that just didn't have any ending at all. Well, that was true. It didn't.
That night it didn't.
But then also, what did they say? We
shouldn't make fun of role models such as Ronald Reagan.
Right.
In some circles he's considered a role model.
Well, I guess it's those funny kinds of reviews that say, well, they shouldn't make fun of role models like Ronald Reagan. Well, we make fun of other role models like FDR and Abraham Lincoln and Bill Clinton. Why is Ronald Reagan off limits?
Yeah, I think we try to make fun of all sides of the spectrum. Somebody, we had just done the America show, you and I just recently we have, mm-hmm. and somebody said, oh gosh, you know, you do a whole thing with, you know, Barack Obama and, you know, taking funny questions and giving him grief and, you know, how does that work, you know, he's so popular. And we go, well, we make a little fun of everybody is what we try to do. So, you know, who's ever president is not usually very hard to make fun of them.
Well, and it's also fun to make fun of the popular things. Because if you can make fun of popular things, it's easy to make fun of, you know, particularly liberal theater audiences. It's easy to make fun of conservative, you know, boogeymen.
Yeah.
You know, because the whole audience is on your side. It's like preaching to the choir. But it's more fun to make fun. It's more challenging, certainly, to make fun of the popular, that Christ-like figure we have in the White House now.
Exactly.
This is Stephen Klein, president of the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts in Louisville, Kentucky. And you're now listening to Redo Shakespeare Podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? Well, you can see the Complete History of America abridged for the next 2 weekends at the San Diego Repertory Theater in San Diego, California. And we have just posted the next batch of our upcoming tour dates for the fall of 2009 on our website. All the places we'll be performing this fall, ranging from Iowa to North Carolina, from Michigan and Wisconsin and Walnut Creek in California to Hong Kong. There will probably be a few more dates added to this list as well. We'll post those on our website as soon as we get them confirmed. Go to RedoShakespeare.com for details. And now back to San Diego. I spoke with Matt Croak, who was with us the first time we were performing in San Diego. And while we were there, he was catching up on the early seasons of 24, and he got a horrifying surprise.
now that I'm actually catching up, being introduced to it, the first time, I was like already in season four, but I started watching the first season, and I'm blowing through like five, you know, DVDs a night. So we get done with the show, and, you know, after a show, you're kind of pumped up, and, you know, you're ready to go, and instead of going out, I'd go home and watch DVDs. So I'm watching 24. I must be watching like 5 hours, 6 hours a night of this thing. I'm really engrossed in it.
And are you watching season one, or now you're into season two?
I think I'm into season two. That's the season you were on, correct?
Yeah, I was on season two, yeah.
So this is season two, right. So there's the terrorists, you know, nuclear bombs, all this stuff, and so, you know, we're getting into it. And I'm not watching any news. I go home, you know, just go right to the DVD. It's 2 in the morning. So I'm watching, and the final episode, you know, what I'm watching up to, the climax is, you know, the nuclear bomb that goes off in L.A. So I go to bed, you know, go to sleep, wake up at the crack of noon, and I notice it's dark. And I go, oh, gosh, maybe it's, you know, like Hawk Song or something like that. And I open it up, and I swear it was freaky. It was... The sky was dark. There were ashes falling from the sky. It was raining ashes. I kid you not. And I'm going, wait, am I dreaming or what? It was freaky.
Oh,
it was a
God.
Post-apocalyptic nuclear winter. I'm going, what? And I'm frozen. And I go, I don't know if this is real. I go, I think I should turn on the news. And I think I have the phone on, and I've got 20, and I'm going, no, I just watched 24. It was so weird.
When did you finally figure out that San Diego was just having the worst firestorms of its life?
Well, when I turned on the news, and I'm like, oh my God, and I've never been, and you know, it's funny, I hate to be one of these people that you don't know until you know, but you know, you hear about the fires and all that. I've never, you know, you hear earthquake, causing an earthquake. I gotta tell you, if you're in one of these fire things, it's difficult. It's scary.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I feel for the people, because then I found out, and then I went walking out. You couldn't breathe, or one couldn't breathe, because it's literally raining ash.
Yeah.
And we're walking to, and they did not cancel the show. We had like 18 people show up, mm-hmm. And it was really weird. And it's funny because we did the show for 20 people, and yet, you know, the whole, should we do it? Should we not do it? And when there's 20 people, what's the point? And after the show, we had a group come up to us and say, you know what, thanks for doing the show tonight. We've been living in our car, you know, for a couple days. We weren't going to come. We had nowhere else to go. We came, and we really needed this night, and thank you so much for doing the show.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, I hate to be corny on this thing, but, you know, it's just a real good feeling. But it was a very, you know, very difficult time for the city, as most of those fires can be.
Right. And then, of course, the fires came again, because we played San Diego 2 years later or something, again in the fall, in the height of wildfire season, we had fires again. And, you know, it's still that weird dichotomy of people have trouble getting to the theater. They have trouble getting anywhere because highways are closed because they don't know where the fire is going to spread to. And yet the people who do come really enjoy the show. And yet we sold extremely well and almost extended both times during the fires. I mean, our fingers are crossed that we go down there, this week, and there won't be any fires. As Reed said, we'll have a tsunami of laughter in San Diego.
Well, then the next night, I right away went to the video store and rented a bunch of DVDs about a guy who's rich and gets a lot of ladies, and I woke up the next morning and nothing. It didn't transfer over.
Dude.
Yeah.
I thought this story was going to have a happy ending, but no.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite parts about San Diego via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can also interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Just click on forum, or find us at facebook.com, myspace.com/reduceshakespeare, or become a subscriber to our channel on YouTube, or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks as always to Webmaster Matt Rippey, Fire Chief Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Allison Terrier. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Stephen Klein, the president of the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts, and thanks to you very much for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 123/369 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Ladies and gentlemen, the complete history of America Abridged will begin shortly. The use of cameras and recording devices is strictly prohibited by law. Out of courtesy to your fellow patrons, please turn off all cell phones, signal watches, pagers, and pacemakers. The animals used in tonight's performance were tortured under the strict supervision of the American Humane Association. The actors in tonight's performance are proud to wear Nike, the official footwear of the reduced Shakespeare Company. Nike, just do it. And management wishes to remind you that this theater is equipped to provide assistance to the hearing impaired. If you or a member of your party is hearing aired, eat, tack, nosh, or Asian. And now, for your edification and entertainment, the complete history of America.
Amerigo.
Amerigo
Vespucci was his name.
Vespucci.
Tarting landmasses was his game.
Poochie woochie.
Not Scrabble or Parcheesi.
No, tarting landmasses was his game.
I set sail to chart the seas in 1499.
In a vessel full of dreams, pastrami and cheap wine. The mate was a mighty sailor man.
The skipper brave and sure.
Amerigo set sail that day for more than a 3-hour tour. Much more than a 3-hour tour.
In 1502, after two long, treacherous voyages, Amerigo concluded that what everyone had thought was India was actually a new world. He named it Mundus Novus, Latin for giant nose. Eventually, it bore his name, America. History was made.
Amerigo, Amerigo.
God is shed, he's a grace on me. My name will live forever now from sea to shining sea.
Amerigo, Amerigo, ha ha.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.